one in front.
Oh, Bogies and Films! Change of plans. I made a new friend. Looks like I'll be staying here for a while longer. Everything is so much better now that I've decided to stay.
Welcome back to Old Bogies and Films. Each episode, the members of this panel take turns assigning a film to watch and discuss. Tagged on Instagram are
Shelly,
Eric,
Fahad,
Ruth,
and me, Takiya. This round, I had the Bogies watch 2022's Influencer. Influencer was about a psychopath named CW, who takes on the lives of the female influencers she encounters while living in the affluent touristy areas of Thailand. She starts out by befriending the women. So by showing the women around the local hotspot areas outside the resort, she steals their passports and room keys, and then proceeds to create the appearance of a break-in. Then the women call for help, and she takes them to her place for an extended stay until their new passports come in to go home. Then she creates the ultimate scheme of leaving them on a private island to die and takes over their lives on social media. Two influencers focused on in a movie are schemed and left to die until the ex-boyfriend of one of the women becomes suspicious and investigates CW, which leads to the revelations of her psychopathic killing spree, and a surprise is revealed in the end when one of the girls, named Madison, has miraculously managed to survive on the abandoned island, on the island, and after striking CW on the head, takes off in her boat and leads CW to die. Okay.
So we think.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Or so we're led to believe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It almost leads the things open door open for a influencer too. Anyway. Yeah. I love this movie. I liked even just the idea of that a psychopathic or this crazy person in this case, you know, is out here, you know, following these influencers' accounts and while being out on vacation. And CW in this case, very technologically elaborate, or maybe it's another word for it. What's the word? We are very
tech savvy.
Tech savvy, yeah, yeah. And the length she reached just to live their lives was crazy. And then she would get tired and then go on to someone else to keep the thrill going. So I'm sure maybe Shelly, one of you might say that one of you guys might like to see more background of her, you know, like what led to her being this way. I kind of like the mystery behind it, just kind of going into it. And there's, you know, kind of you think about being on vacation by yourself, maybe that's you out there. And like, you know, you never know who's, I guess, the idea of being watched and, you know, who's trying to take over your life type of thing. I don't know. Yeah. So, but yeah. I liked it. It was kept me on the edge of my seat, and I have more to say, but I want to see here you guys' opinions, of course. So in my queue, I'll start with Fahad.
Oh, great, thank you. So for this movie, I actually really enjoyed it. It's just a fun, straight up, like, you know, one of those thriller type movies. So I really actually did enjoy it. It shared some similar themes with Ingrid Goes West.
Just
especially around the dangers of being so open on social media and people not realizing that living your life out for everybody to see has some downsides to it, because that means everybody knows where you are at any given point and can research about you and learn about you and know how to get into your circle, you know? Mm-hmm. And we saw Ingrid do that to Elizabeth Olsen's character in Ingrid Goes West. And we saw this character, who kind of looked like a robbery plaza at times, do it to Madison and the other influencers here too. Now with Ingrid, we kind of knew why it was happening, you know? Mm-hmm. She was longing to be a part of something and be friends with these people or whatever. With CW, like you said, Takiya, we never really learned the motivation as to why specifically she's doing this, other than like she says comments here and there about like, you know, she doesn't like that influencer lifestyle, doesn't like, you know, the fact that, you know, when they were eating dinner, she kind of made that comment about taking the pictures, like, you know, your food's, you know, more enjoyable when it's hot, kind of a thing. I don't know, maybe she's just like, I hate these people, I just want to kill them all one by one. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the theme. What I really enjoyed about it was it kind of did what movies like the Psycho and Scream. I know I'm giving it a lot of cred by comparing it to Psycho and Scream, but it's not in that caliber at all. But what I'm getting at is where you're following the main girl and you think she's the hero, the main star of the whole movie, but she, quote unquote, is killed off like within the first like 20, 25 minutes or so. And you're like, wait. And then instead you're following another character who in this case is the villain. So obviously later on we find out that Madison didn't die. So I liked that because I went into this movie not knowing what we were going to be watching. And I thought, you know, oh, she's going to be like fighting with CW on the island to try to survive and make her way back. Like we're watching Madison's journey. So I like that it flipped the script and we were actually watching CW's journey. Eric, it reminded me of that movie. Was it called like Behind the Mask or the Vernon?
Leslie Vernon.
Yeah, Leslie Vernon, that movie where you get to see the villain in action and what the lengths they have to go through to do the things they're doing. So like what she did with Madison was very seamless and you didn't see what she was doing. But then when she's turning the tables and doing it on Jessica, you have to see the struggle she has to go through to just try to put it, you know, meet Jessica, befriend Jessica, break into her room. Obviously she went through a lot of struggles to kill Jessica because of Ryan. So I like that it flipped the script and we were watching the villain and the struggles the poor villain had to go through. It kind of begs that question. Are we rooting for CW in this movie? Like every time stupid Ryan got in the way, I'm like, oh, Ryan, why are you there? I'm like, oh, wait, you're actually the good guy in a way. You're to find Madison. Like you really That's love funny. Her. You want to see her, but he was annoying. And it's like, no, CW, kill him. Get him out of the way so you can get Jessica to the island. And I'm like, wait, I shouldn't be rooting for CW. So overall, like I said, I enjoyed it. I like the theme around it. I like that. Though at first I'm like, okay, it's highly improbable that Madison would have lived that entire time. And yeah, it was feeling a little far-fetched that was going to happen. But then I remembered when they were on the island sitting at the fire, she's like, oh, I haven't been around a fire in like 10 years since I was a Girl Scout. And I was like, oh, she learned like some of those, I'm guessing, as being a Girl Scout. And that's how she learned to survive on the island. Yet I'm still surprised she didn't like rip off her clothes more so she could be more comfortable in what I'm assuming odd weather. The dress was fully intact.
Did anyone else think it was weird though that they were sitting around the fire and they were drinking wine out of like legitimate wine glasses?
Yes.
Like they brought the wine glasses to the fire on this faraway island. But I was glad, sorry, I don't want to interrupt your spot too much, but I just have to say this, that I was glad. See, I knew she was going to leave her. And I was glad she left her the wine glasses because she could have caught rain in it and just drank the rainwater.
Oh, yeah, like, it was storm season or whatever, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was rainy season.
Thanks to Rupert telling us that.
Yeah,
he was that's true.
Rupert. And also you can see that she caught fish as well to survive from the own fish.
Yeah.
I guess she had the fire.
The other girls must have not done that to catch fish.
They weren't Girl Scouts.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
So unfortunately for CW, every time I think of CW, I think of the TV network.
Me too, CW.
Oh, I every time you say it, I think of DW, Arthur's sister.
I know that too.
But it is kind of, it's not a hit to the movie at all, but it did feel like a horror movie made by CW at times. But I enjoyed it though. And there was one more thing. Oh, I was going to say is, Eric, the actress who played CW, we've seen her in, she was the lesbian aunt in a movie that we saw, and now it just escaped my mind. What was it?
I,
It's a Wonderful Knife.
Yes, thank you. It's a Wonderful Knife.
What do you think CW stands for? Crazy,
crazy
Witch?
Woman. Oh, I said Crazy Woman.
That would make sense.
the other thing I was going to say is
content warning. That's very social media.
Content warning. The technology she used to replace like her image with Madison's image and do all that, you know, like that technology obviously exists, but the scary part is it's now accelerated and easier to do thanks to AI and deepfake technology. So she went through some like, you know, it showed the processing and her doing it all, but now you could do it almost in like the snap of your fingers. So,
the movie was 2022, but it's already well obsolete.
Yeah. So it's crazy just how fast technology is moving that even that technology is outdated, and that was still awesome technology. Yeah. So there you go, Takiya. Back over to you.
Well, thank you, Fahad. Next in my queue is Ruth.
Okay, so I was just going to kind of start off with immediately noticing, so when Madison is there, I notice, oh, at first you see CW kind of just casually there, and I'm thinking, she's there, I forgot what the next place is she went, and I was thinking either she's a stalker or like a fan stalker, how Fahad you're talking about Ingrid Goes West. Or I was like, maybe she's a lesbian. She's in love with her. it was just pretty cool kind of just see how things unraveled, because especially at the beginning, you're thinking they don't make it clear about how CW gets into Madison's room until you kind of see the next go around. I guess her name's Jessica. And then seeing how she kind of just takes her key and all that and kind of gets distracted. But I liked it. But like, I guess being someone who gets scared, I guess I have to just be a little bit worried, of course. But I thought it was very clever as far as how she, CW went after Ryan in a way. Because he, I guess he was the only one that was really quote unquote in her way, because not everybody was as smart, at least as first off when he wants to go look for Madison. But then Jessica, they were noticing things, I guess, more so off the bat about her kind of being off. I guess in that respect, if that makes sense. So then CW, it was funny too. I was kind of like, should I be rooting for her or not? Because then I want her to get found out because what she did to people too, you know? So I was kind of in between right there too.
Yeah, she's working so hard.
Why did she rape, what was the guy's name? Because she's crazy.
Ryan?
Ryan? She roofied him, right?
She did.
And then she took him back.
But I don't think they had actual sex. She just made it look as if they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because she...
I couldn't tell. It looked like she was sort of on top of him. She was just...
She did get on top of him, but she also did it to unlock his phone.
Yeah.
And then she put his... She was a condom and threw it on the floor.
Yeah,
she was trying to trick him.
She definitely sexually assaulted him, even if she didn't have sex with him.
She definitely
did. Well, yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
It seems like she didn't expect... She seems to think most influencers are a bit easy to dupe. And that's probably been her experience, actually. But it seems like she was surprised that Jessica and Ryan were a little harder to manipulate. And that's probably because they seemed like very experienced manipulators themselves. Like that's kind of, and Madison, that wasn't that kind of, Madison was kind of in this job because Ryan put her there and people thought she was sweet. But Ryan and Jessica, I think, are used to, so they recognize somebody else who is manipulating. They're like, I can see what you're doing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I must be getting old because I looked at him and I'm like, that child doesn't have that much money. Like, how does he afford all of this? Like, he's just a child.
It's the influencers can get a lot of money if they're
successful.
They
do make a lot of money. Yeah,
and a lot of stuff they also get for free.
Yeah.
Sure.
But he was paying for that house for her.
So how does CW, she basically takes over their lives, but so the house that she originally had when she was around Madison, was that whoever the girl was before her, I guess, took over her place? So does she technically have her own home and her own place, or does she just only has her own places after she gets
rid it from of them? The people?
Yeah, like does she have her own? Are those places not really her own house? I guess
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think we saw her have her own place.
Yeah, and then she's an influencer, but she when she takes over the women's like social media too, I guess. But
yeah,
I like the fact that how smart Ryan was to notice, you know, this is the Madison, this isn't anything like, doesn't sound like her and stuff like that too, which I liked how, you know, another way to reiterate how I thought how he was.
I didn't know what to think about him at the end. Cause definitely when we first meet him, like over the Zoom calls, he's a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he does make this comment when he's arguing with CW. He asks her, have you ever even had like a serious relationship? And I felt like the point he was trying to make to her is that when you only see like a little bit of a relationship, you don't really know the whole story. So sure, maybe he's
kind of, yeah, kind of like Instagram or Facebook or whatever.
Yeah.
You make your life look a certain way.
He was trying to say like, she doesn't actually know. And then I thought maybe that's a message to the audience too. Like when he seems like he's being a dick and he's saying, Madison, you don't mean that. You don't actually want to break up. Maybe as a point, like maybe their relationship has been rocky before and this was always something that they just had to sort out. And
yeah, because she said, well, you broke up with him. And he said, or she broke up with you. CW said that to him. And he said, well, she always says that, you know, that's so her.
Yeah. But so, I mean, so we don't know exactly, like maybe Madison really did want to leave him forever, or maybe it was just a bad part in their relationship. Maybe they got lost and they could reconnect, because for in the middle part, which kind of becomes Ryan's story, first it's Madison's story, then it's CW's story, then it's Ryan's story, and then it's back to CW. But he seemed like a pretty good guy. Actually, he was really serious about finding out what had happened to her.
Yeah.
Like it seemed like he really, really cared. You know, he had apparently brought a ring to close to that. So he was serious about it. And I think he seemed to know that he wouldn't have slept with CW, that had to be a lie, because I think he wouldn't have cheated on Madison.
I don't think he would have either.
Yeah.
Cause when he came back, even though he was looking for Madison, when he came back with all those guys from the club or whatever to party at the house, it didn't look like there were other girls. It just sounded like a bunch of guys.
Guys, yeah.
So, you know, by the end of it, I actually was, I was a bit conflicted, but I was sad that he was gone. Yeah,
I was definitely sad. I was mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping he'd just wake up.
I was wondering when CW went back to the island, I was wondering maybe when she went to go look for Madison, if all of a sudden he wasn't going to be in the boat. I was hoping it was going to be like that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But, well, I kind of talked a lot, but I guess I'll stop there, of course. So, all right.
All right. Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome. And
next in my queue is Eric.
Thank you. A lot of other people have said things that I was going to say, so I can probably be pretty quick. Firstly, I'm going to put some bookends around, you'll know what I mean when I finish around my statement here, but my first point is that I was a little bit surprised. It was 26 minutes in before the title screens. I didn't even realize, I guess my mind just that I had seen some quick ones in the beginning and that we were fully into the story. So we saw almost all of Madison's story. Actually, I think we saw all of Madison's story before they even start showing us the actors' names and the titles. I was like, that's really strange. I wonder if that's, it's probably not a record, but it's close, I think. So that leads me into my next point, which is that I really liked the structure of this. in only that respect, it kind of reminded me of Barbarians, how the story
keeps
changing a bit, which, like Takiya said, keeps you on your toes because you don't know. And I really like movies. I've seen other movies like that too. Like, first one that comes to mind is the Australian movie Razorback, where you kind of lose track of like who's, I mean, that one does a better job of it, but you lose track of who's really the lead character that you're supposed to be following. Like, whose story is this? And so I really enjoyed that. And I already mentioned how, it's first it's Madison's story, but then it's CW's, but then it's Ryan's. Mm-hmm. And then in the very final moments, we kind of wrap up with all three of them. And I found that very interesting. And what I just said a minute ago was you lose track of whose story it was. And that leads me to, Fahad mentioned the Girl Scout comment. And I was going to say, like, I fully believed from the beginning, or from when she's left on the island, that that wasn't the last we'd see of Madison, that she was actually going to survive. Yeah. And now as the movie went on and on, I thought, okay, it's getting less likely. So maybe I'm wrong. But the reasons that I thought that she's definitely probably still alive is the Girl Scout comment. But also I realized later in the movie that it was kind of a breaking the fourth wall, comment that was made when she's dancing around the campfire on the island with CW after CW just got really creepy on her. And she says, actually, we are 100% in my story is what she said. And I thought that's kind of a weird line, but it turns out to be true. Like, you think, oh, she's been left on the island, she's going to die. Now it's actually CW's story. But in the end, we find out it was 100% Madison's story.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the plot goes, I think somebody mentioned, Ingrid Goes West. And yeah, I hadn't even thought of that. That's a very good point. What I had thought of was single white female. And it's not a perfect analogy, but it reminded me of, there's a lot of movies out there about like one woman developing an unhealthy obsession with another and kind of trying to replace her, which is what happens in single white female. And it basically happens here. I don't know that she was necessarily obsessed with Madison, but she did take over her life. Mm-hmm. And she was that kind of friend that you meet that seems like, oh, this is the girlfriend that I've needed for so long. And we can, you know, have a good time together. And then she kind of goes wonky on you. And I don't know why they don't really make movies like that about men. So I don't know, I guess maybe the concept or what they're making a commentary on is that there's a lot of resentment and jealousy in female relationships sometimes that can sour it. Mm-hmm. and go bad on you. It's a little salacious, but I think that they found a really interesting way to tell it using the social media aspect of this. And like some others have said, we don't really know why CW is doing this. I guess we could just imagine that it's because she seems to resent people who do are social media influencers because they're getting a lot for nothing, that they aren't really contributing anything. And they're sort of, it's all propped up on the person's privilege. That's how you can, I mean, that's how you can be successful at this. You already have privilege most likely. And then you just capitalize on that, and you're not really contributing anything to the world. And she really resents that. So who knows, like, what her background was? Probably not much. She was probably very, very poor, probably didn't have anything. And she's developed these attitudes toward these people. I thought it was a very interesting serial killer profile, though, that she would, you know, stalk these people on social media and then infiltrate their lives and get rid of them. And it was a very interesting way to get rid of them too. She didn't actually do the killing. I imagine she was really annoyed.
Well, except for Jessica, right? She did kill Jessica.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say. I imagine she was really annoyed when the Jessica and Ryan situation got so out of hand that she had to actually physically take care of it. Because, I mean, if she's anything like real serial killers, the ritual is important to them. So she must have been pissed off that she couldn't just, you know, motorboat Jessica out to that island with a smile on her face. Instead, she had to take her in a suitcase. Like, you know, Ryan has ruined, you know, Ryan and Jessica ruined everything. And she's just going to have to get them, their bodies to the island and then start over with a clean slate with somebody else. But I love that moment when she gets to the island and she sees exactly what I knew she was going to see, that there's evidence that Madison is not gone. And you screwed up.
Oh.
But I think I also love that final shot when Madison is motorboating away from the island. Mm-hmm. And CW is watching the boat disappear and realizes she's going to be left there, but she starts smiling. I think she was happy to be proven wrong, that it turned out one of her victims was actually a survivor, somebody who could take care of themselves if they had to, who was not going to just be taken advantage of, or not just, you know, the superficial.
And she wasn't as shallow as she thought she was.
Yeah, I think she liked.
I think she had it in her idea that these influencers are shallow, but she didn't realize
that. She's probably right most of the time, but this is the moment that proved her wrong. And I think she was happy to be proven wrong, to have found somebody that actually wasn't like that, that could survive this. But that also tells me that CW is probably not going to die on this island either.
Yeah.
Influencer too.
Yeah, she's probably been through enough, whatever her past life was. She's probably the kind of person who could survive on this island. Yeah. Who knows how she
did? Did anyone else worry, though, that how was she going to find her way? Like, is she a navigational expert? Like, when she was on that boat, they weren't, like, close to another, you know. How is she going to find her way back? That's all I could think about.
One at two. Yeah.
It depends on, I mean, because even CW didn't have any navigate like stuff with it. Seems like she just kind of went straight, and like I was hoping that the island was just a straight shot 3 miles, because she said like 3 miles, right? Till the
yeah,
okay, that's not that far.
I was just hoping it's like a 3 miles. So even if she goes three miles, get lost and turn around in the ocean.
Yeah, I wondered about that too. And I think I was just assuming that on the way out there, she paid attention and knew it was just a straight shot in a certain direction, and she would just have to get lucky.
She didn't pay attention.
Well, then I'm just going to say, but then didn't you think, well, then if it's only 3 miles, aren't other boats going to pass by there? Like 21 days and no other boats.
I think she commented that at the island.
She could swim freaking 3 miles if she really was determined.
Really determined, yeah.
I thought maybe she was going to try to like build a, like, you know, a raft or something. But
I thought she was going to befriend all the dolphins and then ride.
Speedboat going 3 miles is one thing versus like, it would take a long time for a raft to even like, if you don't even have like a sail for wind, you know, you're going to have to like, it's tiring. I don't think you could do it.
I was just imagining her on a log just kicking for 3 miles.
But CW did say, I think, about the location that there won't be any, like, no boats come by, or like she said something like that.
It's still, right. Yeah,
that's true.
Going back to your comment, Eric, I did, while I was watching it, liken CW to Jigsaw, to your point. Ooh. You were making, where Jigsaw never kills his victims. True, he makes a point to say it too. I have never killed any of them. You know, he sets them up to survive, is his twisted way of looking at it. Yeah. So CW, that's her twisted way. Like, she lets them there, you know, if they have the will to survive, they'll survive. But she didn't kill them. So yeah, the minute she had to kill Jessica and then Ryan, I was like, oh, she's going to be angry. She has to get her hands bloody.
I was also curious, like, so CW, you know, we're saying like what her idea is of influencers, which I can see. So I was kind of just curious to see what her victim was like from the very first go around, because she was
a prequel.
Yeah, or just her backstory.
Influencer two, the first influence.
The first kill.
She seemed very specific on how long she thought that the girl would live and everything. So I kind of wanted to know.
Well, I'm very curious if there were a sequel, or even just in that life, in that world, what Madison's life is going to be like going forward, because she has a lot to, quote-unquote, clean up. You know, all the posts that CW made on her behalf, she's going to have to say, that wasn't me. The I'm leaving social media, she's going to say, that wasn't me. The videos you saw of me talking, that wasn't me. And me telling everybody that Jay was physically abusive to me.
Ryan.
And tarnishing... What? Ryan, sorry.
That Ryan.
Was physically abusive to me. that wasn't real either. Like, she has a lot of.
But then I couldn't stop thinking, how is she going to explain all of this once she gets out? Like, how do you explain this?
And how do you explain
this island?
How do you explain showing up at the dock with a dead body?
With your dead man in your boat.
Well, I'm sure she's going to send the authorities terrible. Back to CW.
Her dead fiance.
Does that mean that CW was rescued?
Probably. She would. I mean, I guess it depends on. I think Madison has to send the police back to CW because that's the only way to explain Ryan's body.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would be interesting if there was a sequel and it's sort of a battle of two titans.
Her versus her.
Her word against her word. Yeah. Because CW will no doubt come up with some kind of story. And speaking of the whole, I was going to say, it really pissed me off that she made Ryan out to seem like a predator and the whole internet took off with it. I especially hated Madison's quote unquote best friend.
Yeah.
Oh, he was horrible person.
Too. He was, because first of all, he was like, you can do so much better than her. And then he comes out in the video with, I knew the entire time that he was a predator.
Yeah, gross.
Shut up.
He just wants attention.
Yeah. He was terrible. I didn't like him.
So I will just close mine by I told you I was going to bookend it. So I started with talking about how I thought it was incredible the titles don't start for 26 minutes. But I also liked the end credits, the simplicity of it. I don't know if you noticed, but as the names scrolled up through the ocean, they're white, and then they turn blue right at the horizon where it becomes the sky. And it was just a very simple beauty to me. So I really appreciated that.
Eric, the other thing I was going to say, though, is, you know how I was saying I was likening her to Jigsaw? There were other parts, and I'm scared where this is going to take it, but we're going to have to put a pause on where that conversation could go. But it reminded me of the creep from Creep. Wait for it. Is she listening?
I am. I've been listening. I'm also,
Okay, she's not taking it there. Okay.
No. I mean, no, I didn't take it to Creep, though, but.
No, Takiya, you've been telling me and Eric for years to watch the movie Creep. And now I'm referencing the movie Creep, which means Eric and I just watched the movie Creep.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. I thought you wanted me to say something within the movie. The next thing I was about to say was, did you guys see it? I was very excited.
We watched it, but
you don't sound very excited.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
Oh my God, you guys watched Creep. Oh my God.
Sorry.
You've been telling us so many times, you guys need to watch Creep. It's the best.
I guess we didn't really need to watch it.
Yeah.
No, you did. No, I'm glad. No, I'm as you guys are, I'm tired too. I mean, like, mom.
Yeah, we watched it with my nephew on Thursday night.
Oh, wow. Recently. We'll have to talk about it. We just can't talk about it.
We will have to talk about it.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of Creep. I'm not going to spoil it for those of you who are listening that haven't watched Creep, since this isn't a movie or a podcast about that movie. But the way this person goes about doing certain things was very similar. So just wanted to point that out.
Nice.
Similar motives.
Oh, wow. You guys finally watched them. You haven't watched Creep 2, have you?
No.
Okay.
One interesting thing is I didn't realize CW had heels on, and that was an interesting way to kill off Madison's boyfriend.
I wish they had shown that to us, because I like gore in a horror movie, and but I guess they didn't have the practical effects person on screen on set to do something like that, which would have been a pretty serious prosthetic, casting of the actress and everything. But it's not that kind of movie, you know?
Yeah.
I was kind of
psychological.
My jaw went down for a while. I thought, oh my gosh, she did that to him?
Yeah.
That was one of my thoughts I thought I'd throw in. What's that?
She obviously has some anger, because she could have tried to kill her in a way that wasn't such a mess to clean up.
True. She had to pack her up and go.
Well, thank you.
How does she clean her up so fast?
I don't know.
So this is a lesson to you. Never travel with baggage that's big enough for your own body to be in.
Yeah. Backpacking only.
Someone will put you in that. So don't do that.
Exactly.
bring a bunch of carry-ons so that the, well, then they have to chop you up, and maybe you don't want that either.
He doesn't seem above chopping somebody up. I thought that's what she had done to Ryan.
Just do what Fahad does, which is a book bag only, a backpack only. It's not even gonna keep the blood in the bag.
Eric. Now, Shelley.
All right. So I did enjoy it. There's something wrong with me because my brain just, I don't know, for some reason, and I know in all movies you're supposed to suspend your disbelief and all that, but I could not believe it. My mind just went, I think I've already spoken on a lot of this, but my first thought was when she was on the island with Madison, I thought, well, the moment that someone gave me that, like, imagine Fahad and I are on this island and he looks at me and he says, no, I would leave you on this island and you would starve to death or you'd be really thirsty. I would hop in that boat and I would not go to sleep. I would just sit there and I would wait because I just couldn't believe that she was just so dumb that she just fell asleep and that she didn't wake up when CW was leaving. Then I couldn't believe that Ryan and Jessica were so dumb. Like they were dumb, but not dumb, but that they fell for it. My mind just kept going to like, they can't possibly believe this. They can't possibly fall for this. Like, she's that smart that she's killed all of these people.
Because she had access to all of the their phones and the able to do the social media and stuff, people believe what they see on screens or believe what they see on the phone. So she's texting from her phone, or even though the voice sounded so robotic.
Maybe it was a bad day to watch this because I immediately thought of poor Princess Kate Middleton over in England posts this picture.
Yep.
And everyone immediately knew that that was photoshopped. So I kept thinking, bad timing.
Because I was at a restaurant earlier tonight, and on the TV was breaking news. Kate Middleton apologizes for photoshopped picture. And there's a big blow up of the picture with red circles everywhere she did nudges and little. I was like, oh my gosh.
So I don't get it. Why did she do that? Even my buddy in real quick. What was the... I didn't see his whole story. I was going to go.
Everybody photoshops their photos and posts them online.
Why? Do you ever like alter, like when you take a photo on your phone, do you ever like do the lighting and
I don't play. I mean, I never post, so I don't play around with.
Well, I don't post, but I do that with my photos sometimes.
But I think a lot of the social media people, the celebrities, everybody photoshops their photos or, you know, puts filters on them to make them look better before they post them. So it's just Kate. I think people felt it was inappropriate because it was with our kids.
I think.
Story. That surgery like a month ago or like 3 weeks ago, she had surgery and they've been very hush hush about it. So there were all of these like conspiracy theories that had she died, what happened? Did she, and she's not, you know, people are,
so basically, she took a photo with her kids and put herself superimposed herself in it. Is that what happened? Like,
I don't think so.
It was a family photo, but it was just like weird areas, like the pinky was in like Charlotte's shirt, or I don't know. It was weird, weird.
And she was trying to prove that she was healthy. I guess I don't get the point of why she did that.
I don't know.
I don't think one has to do with the other. I think people are just taking it there. That's my opinion.
So I think, Shelley, what you were getting at is the fact that people were able to jump and point all these things out. Why couldn't anybody figure out that Madison's stuff was so fake?
Well, I just was, I think it was just bad timing. But bad timing in watching it. Because I thought that, I thought of that immediately. I thought, well, if everyone is looking at these influencers, no one would notice, really? Like, I know that that was the point that CW was trying to make. Was that nobody will notice. Like, you're not, you think you're so important, but you're not. Like,
nobody will look for you.
No one will look for you. There was one other thing. I thought those stupid people, like, when I travel abroad, like, I either keep my passport right on my body or I put it in the damn safe in the hotel room. So I was so disappointed in these ladies for not, or Madison especially. Why did she not put her passport in the safe? Like, she could have saved herself 3 weeks on a hellish island by just locking up her damn mm-hmm. passport.
For everybody listening, Shelly keeps her passport locked in the safe in the hotel room. Thank you, Shelly.
Now we know where to look.
And the passcode I use is. So, yes, overall, I enjoyed it. I just, my brain went crazy with it.
Hey, thank you, Shelly. I want to note, too, that like the, maybe it put me there without all the horror stuff happening, just being one to be in Thailand. It also, in a way, it was interesting how the unintentional showing of the island and just being out there in a culture, even said this that with that hour or so of the movie, throughout the movie, yeah, it was. I don't know how to explain it, but it did a good job of showing the area off and wanting to travel there. It made it look like a paradise. And I'm sure it is. Like, I think some of those areas are real that when you go out there, it's a place I want to visit. Maybe want to visit there out there even more.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
I get what you mean.
Because it was very, because it wasn't Thailand and it wasn't the tourist industry of Thailand or even the people of Thailand that did all the horrible things. It was, nothing to do with visiting Thailand. That could have anywhere. So to your point, I appreciated looking at Thailand. I'm like, I want to move there into that house.
Yeah. I know the house. I'm a big traveler. Obviously, you don't, hard to travel. You know, a little one right now. But yeah, this is one of my top 10 places you want to travel on your bucket list. So anyway, the music also was kind of haunting in a way that it was like a touristy type of like cinematography music that went along with the Thai feel, if you want to say that. And so, I didn't see
a I liked it in my my subtitles. It was like jaunty music playing. Such a word.
I don't remember the music. Interesting.
Yeah, the opening song, because it sounded like industrial tribal. And I was like, interesting.
That's interesting as well. You said industrial tribal. I never thought of that.
I think you just said that visiting Thailand was on your bucket list, but mm-hmm. I kind of heard fuck it list.
You're like, it's pronounced what? Phuket.
Pronounced Phuket. No,
definitely not. Top 10.
But funny. Yeah, you do want to go to Phuket.
I do, yes. Well, without the tsunamis. Well, what we call the ocean tsunami. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I would hope
there was a movie about that actually with Naomi Watts. Yeah, that's actually a really good movie. I'm not getting into another movie, but yeah, watch it whenever some time when we guys get a chance on your own.
No,
there was actually a true story, but it's kind of it got me wondering how it was tragedy. True. But anyway, yeah,
mm-hmm. It is unbelievable to me how many people passed away during that tsunami. Mm-hmm. What was that, 2002?
2004?
It's horrifying.
The movie, Takiya, you're referring to is The Impossible. Sorry, Naomi Watts. Tom Holland was in it. And Ewan McGregor. Yeah. Sean Holland, Tom's little brother, and Harry Holland are all in it, too.
Also, one of the kids is famous now, I think.
Really?
That's what I meant. That's what I meant, Tom Holland. For some reason, I thought you had said Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, no.
He's kind of dead. wait a minute. I keep thinking the guy from Santa Claus. Sorry. Tom what? No, you said Tom Hiddleston. I'm thinking of the guy from David Huddleston from Santa Claus, but you said Tom Hiddleston. Here, never mind. I got it mixed up.
We had that same mix-up like last year where you were telling me about the Santa Claus movie or whatever and Tom Hiddleston's in it. I'm like, Tom Hiddleston can't be in this movie. What are you guys talking about?
My mind went there again. It's been a year later. My mind went there again. I'm like, what? Tom Hiddleston? Wait a minute. Isn't he like a 90-year-old? Okay, never mind. Yeah.
I mean, he is. Anyway, lucky, so maybe he's cast a spell.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else I want to say about it. I was thinking about the actress that played the part of the psycho. I loved her facial features, and I think she did that very well. It was nice to see her in some other... You, wait a minute.
I was about to say, I want you to see her some other movies or get big in the future. But didn't you guys say you saw her something? What was that you just said earlier in the podcast?
She was in It's a Wonderful Knife, but I'm not even sure she had a speaking part.
She did.
She had like a line, maybe?
Did anyone else think she looked like someone else?
I she thought did. She looked like Aubrey Plaza.
I wouldn't say Aubrey was somebody else she looked like.
Yeah, I didn't.
I saw Selma Blair a little bit.
I kept on seeing Aubrey Plaza.
I kept seeing Selma Blair. And I like I said, I hope she gets to be in some other stuff. She did really well.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite part of hers was at the end, her just like smirk, smile.
I know like what Ruth's favorite part was.
What? Oh,
her butt when she was in the shower.
I thought you were going to say when some of her bathing suits she wore.
She did remind me of somebody, but it was only just now that I was able to like put it together.
Yeah.
And it's mainly when she like made that smile at the end, because she doesn't, I mean, she smiles throughout the rest of the movie, yeah, but maybe the smile at the end. But Phoebe Cates.
Oh. Like, okay, early. I can see that a little bit. Yeah. I can see that.
Hopefully nobody has recast her and chose one of those actresses. Otherwise,
I will blame you, Fahad. I will blame you.
I just realized too, like, I wonder if the filmmakers were making a reference to Phoebe Cates, because the first time we see her in the movie, she's coming out of a pool in this like crazy bikini.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's a
very famous Phoebe Cates, you know, dream sequence from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, that was a good scene too.
Okay, it is that time again for
Bum recast.
We close each episode with a recast game, where we each play casting director and choose a different actor from any era, living or dead, to portray a character in the film instead. First up is, gonna go back this way of my cue, Shelley again.
Yay! Oh, thank goodness.
so no one can
I'm
steal
sorry, them. I can't stop talking.
That's what my I want my movies to be that way, where they get you talking. I don't want to be like a talkless movie. That means it was talk.
So I recast CW with a young Mandy Moore, because she's so sweet. She would definitely, you know, put people at ease and then murder them.
I like that. I can see that.
I would like to see her play a bad guy like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like how she was a bad guy in Princess Diaries.
Or she played a pretty delicious villain in American Dreams.
Oh, yeah. And saved.
Yeah. And saved, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So, yes, that's fine.
Thank you, Shelley. Next up is Eric.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to recast Madison with Jessica Roth from Happy Death Day, because I find her very believable as an influencer. She's gorgeous, but she's also, she can play a survivor really well. And I didn't really see Madison necessarily as a survivor, and we only see the actress playing her in this movie for a little bit at the end, just dirty and desperate. But but I would absolutely believe Jessica Roth playing both sides of that character. And plus, I want to see her in more stuff.
Okay, Eric, thank you. That right on now to Ruth.
Okay, so I wanted to recast CW, and this actress I like, kind of, I felt like she could do, kind of had a similar look, and I felt like she would do a good job too. And then her name is Midori Francis. I don't know if y'all have heard of her, but she was a character in The Sex Lives of College Girls that's on HBO Max. So that is my recast. They both have seem like they could put someone at ease too, but she's very good looking too. So.
Okay. Thank you, Ruth. Now Fahad.
Great. I have two recasts and a reminds me of. So my first recast is, you remember when CW and Madison were out on the town and they spot like two guys walking down the street?
Who were obviously gay.
Diddy, diddy, dum, diddy, diddy. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
especially the short one at the very least.
The blonde one?
the short one, I was like, oh my god, that they're not picking these boys up to like date for the night.
Well, I was when they looked at them and they just showed them kind of walking, that's my original thought too. I was like, why are they focusing on two gay guys? Because then they like cut away and then you just see CW Madison again. I'm like, that was really random for them to and then you see like them walking with them. I was like, okay. Anyways, so the not
is that when guy, they're I'm so sorry, I have to just I'm sorry. So there's this one part when they were like drinking with the guys and then they've like randomly do the limbo under his arm.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'll
just be quiet. Were you saying that that was stupid? Okay. There's a scene where the guy I'm about to recast put his arm out and CW did the limbo under his arm to get to the bar.
Okay.
Yeah. I found that kind of odd as well. But anyway, so the taller guy, I'm recasting with Jacob Elordi, who we saw in Saltburn.
Okay.
Then the second person I'm doing is Jay. He is Madison's quote unquote best friend, another influencer that we all hated. So I'm going to recast him with an influencer we all should hate, Todrick Hall.
Yes.
That's for you, Eric.
That bitch.
And then lastly, like
him, but I don't want him to get work, so no.
Why don't you guys like him? That's interesting.
Celebrity Big Brother 3. He was a contestant on it and he was horrible. He was just very, what's the word? Somebody thinks they deserve everything.
Oh, wow.
Entitled?
Entitled. He was very entitled. Anyways, and then the reminds me of is the actress who plays Jessica. When I was watching Jessica from certain angles, looked a little like Katie Sackhoff at times. I don't know if you saw that, Eric.
No. Who's Katie? She looked like Jennifer, what's her name? Ellie from St. Maud.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I thought she looked like the whole time.
And this actress, Sarah Canning, who played Jessica, I know her from Vampire Diaries.
Okay, she looked a little familiar. Funny that.
Yeah, I knew her from Vampire Diaries. She had a big part in it.
I also kind of got a little bit of a Rebecca Ferguson vibe.
Interesting. So those were my two recasts, and It reminds me of.
Okay, thank you, Fahad. And then my recast, I decided to recast Madison with Lily Reinhart from Riverdale. I thought she was just like her. So, yeah. Thank you, everyone. All right. So now it is time to rate the movie. You need to open up your chat and you take it away, Fahad.
Oh, over to me. Okay. one moment, please.
Because I am I'm going Daffy Duck all over this thing. So you go ahead and do your thing.
You're fine. You're doing fine. It's that time to rate. Everybody knows the deal. 0 to 5. You can do quarters. So that means you can do 0.25, 0.5, 0.75, or whole numbers up to 5. So put it in the chat. As soon as you're done putting it in the chat, give me a thumbs up so I know you're ready to go. And then I'll do the countdown. I need to put it in the chat. I don't know. I'm putting my thumb up. I know when I'm ready. Okay, so I'm going to count backwards from 3 to 0, and on the row of 0, everybody hit enter. 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, it's making me reload my spreadsheet. Oh, that was fast. I thought it was going to be like this huge like to-do. And then Shelley, in just one moment, I'm going to ask you to read them out to me starting now.
All right. Odd 4, Eric 3.25, Ruth 2.5, Shelly 3, Takiya 5.
Okay, this is quite a spread. This might be the most spread movie we've had.
Takiya, you do know other numbers exist, right?
I like movies. I've given other numbers, as you see in the past.
So this is an Oscar-worthy movie. Got it.
No, I like the acting, the character sometimes too, and like the scenery and the acting, the character, the action, the acting. So all that goes to as well.
We have an average of a 3.55. The last two digits being the number Takiya knows.
Given some of our numbers.
Just playing. 3.55. You know, I think 3.55 is pretty fair.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I think for me, you know, I have specific reasons for why I rate certain things. So for me, it's an easy watch. But Takiya, I'm going back to your scenery, like the Thailand stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I could just throw this on in the background because I love resorts and resort life. So
I do too.
Exploring places. So like that first, like, 45 minutes or so, like, I could just have that on and watch. It kind of reminds me, Eric, of Barb and Star and the whatever, Del Mar or whatever. And like,
Vista Del Mar.
Yeah.
I don't know how, except that they went on vacation, but sure.
That's all it is. It's just them sitting at the bar and JB Dornan comes up to them, like how she's at the bar and CW comes up to her and it goes.
Sometimes I feel like, I mean, and I thought this when the movie opened, that, oh, they're just doing it in Thailand so that all the actors and the crew get like a vacation. I mean, because you could set it anywhere. But it kind of reminded me of, you know, how all of our TV shows from when we were kids, they would do these specials where they go on vacation. Like,
yeah.
Family Ties.
Oh, yeah. Special episode where they go to Hawaii.
Disney World.
Facts of life, yeah, the facts of life in Hawaii or whatever. Brady Bunch goes to Hawaii, I think, or something.
Brady Bunch goes to Hawaii.
Step by step.
They've been doing it a long time.
Step by step.
Yeah. Full House did.
Yeah.
And you know, it was for sweeps week so that you would have interesting setting, but the whole cast and crew gets a vacation too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or any ABC show went to Disney World, probably because Disney owned ABC.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you, everyone, for the ratings. And it looks like everyone enjoyed it for the most part. And now, let's go on now to Eric. And he has the next movie we will be watching. We will be viewing. Take it away, Eric.
So the next movie is going to be, because I can, because it's my turn, The Delinquents from 1989, starring Kylie Minogue. Because just a few weeks after we post that episode, Fahad and I will be in Las Vegas seeing Kylie Minogue in concert.
Nice.
What is it, 35 years after this movie came out?
And Eric, you have not seen this?
I've never seen this, actually. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
Are you nervous having the Fogies review Kylie and talking about her?
I think I've built up a lot of tolerance to you guys tearing down the movies I ask you to watch.
So. Oh, Eric.
Yeah, but this is Kylie. This is like...
It's going to be okay. I've got a thick skin.
This is Kylie, though.
But I can still love it, even if you don't. So... I have not seen this, but I do know, ironically, the guy who's co-starring with her, Charlie Schlatter. I had a big crush on him in the 80s. Do you remember the movie 18 Again? He switches places with George Burns.
I remember that.
George Burns. I do remember that.
Yeah, they remade it just a few years ago with Zac Efron and called it 17 Again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know that one. I didn't know there was a... remake or whatever.
In this poster, though, does he not look like Elvis a little bit?
Well, this movie's set in the 50s.
Oh, okay. So that
should be fun.
He looks like Matt Dillon. Oh,
that's who he was. He was Ferris Bueller in the Ferris Bueller TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. He was.
Did you guys see Matt Dillon, though? In this, that's how I see.
I know. He
looks like Elvis to me.
I kind of see. I think I see Matt Dillon, too.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about this movie after we watch it and during the recording. I'm sure we'll have tons to say.
Well, thank you, everyone. I declare this episode of Old Fogies and Films concluded. Thanks for joining us. You can find us on Facebook and find our list on Letterboxd. Don't forget to leave a comment or review. Everybody say cheese.
Cheese.